You got your Bible, a notepad? I want you to follow along with me today. I believe I have a right now word on this Palm Sunday. You know, we've been preparing all the way up to Easter for the last several weeks. We talked about, if you're new to our online campus or here, we've been talking about, we talked about heaven. We talked about life after this life. We talked about hell, didn't we? We talked about what is our mission? What should we be doing right now? What should we be focusing on right now? Here's what I know. I'm seeing people either go all the way in for God or all the way out of God. It's getting to be there's no in between. That's where we're all headed. Thank God you're all the way in for God. Amen. I know you are. So we talked about discipleship and how all of us have been made to be one and make one. And we looked at discipleship, the Great Commission. We all have a mission. Say it with me. I was made for a mission. It's called the Great Commission. I was made for a mission. Jesus said in John 17, verse 4, I completed the mission that you gave me. He's talking to his Father. So all of us as Christians, as believers, we have a ministry. Everyone say ministry. Every believer has a ministry, and every believer has a mission. What is that mission, Pastor? It's called the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission, we looked at it, it's found in Matthew 28. You need to know this. You might want to just write this down because most people today don't have any clue what the Great Commission is. So the Great Commission is our mission and ministry as Christians. It's the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And we looked at that for the last 2 weeks. We talked about discipleship. But the Great Commission is kind of like a coin. You know, a coin has two sides to it, right? Heads or tails. Well, the Great Commission has two sides to it. What is it? Discipleship and evangelism. Discipleship and evangelism. So just like a coin has two sides to it, the Great Commission has two sides to it. It's found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then it's also found where we're going to go right now, Mark 16. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. Mark 16, 15 through 20 is the other side of the Great Commission. Everyone say discipleship and evangelism. Now see, when I ask you to say things, and you're doing great, by the way. When you respond in a service to whoever's up front, you release the anointing. Did you know that? You release the anointing when you respond. Plus, when I have you say it, you tend to believe it better than when you hear me say it. Psychologists will agree with that. So that's why we do that, because I love you so much, I want you to get something out of coming together here today at Church on the Rock. So let's go to Mark 16, verse 15 through 20. Every believer's ministry. We all have a ministry. We all have a mission. Jesus said in John 17, verse 4, that he completed that mission. You and I, we're going to fulfill and finish our mission as well, which is the Great Commission. That is to evangelize as believers and then make disciples. Here we come up to Easter. What a great time. People are more open now than any other time of the year. We're seizing the opportunity. Amen. So let's look at it. We're going to read it, Mark 16, 15 through 20. Then we're going to come back and I'm going to share a few more scriptures with you, give you five takeaways, then you can go out to the food truck. Sound cool? All right. Mark 16, 15, the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go. Everybody say go. Now, if you're a note taker, write three things down. Number one, we're to know. Number two, we're to grow. Number three, we're to go. So number one, we're to know God. Number two, we're to grow in God. And then number three, we're to go for God. Know, grow, go. Can you say that with me? Know, grow, go. That's our agenda as Christians. That's what we're all about. That's the plan of God for our life. That gives us hope in knowing God and growing in God and then going for God. Well, that gives you significance. That gives you success and meaning and purpose for life. So he said unto them, go. And notice it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. So if I want that sweet spot we talked about the last 2 weeks, then I got to learn how to go, right? So go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the last 2 weekends, we looked at the other side of the coin of the Great Commission, discipleship, and he said, go and make disciples, teaching them, right? All right, but now this weekend, we're looking at the other side, evangelism. He said to all of us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we want to know God, we want to grow in God, and we want to go for God every day of our life. We never stop knowing God. We never stop growing in God, and we never stop going for God. It's a lifestyle. It's called lifestyle Christianity, all right? It works on Monday, not just on Sunday. It works on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? That's Nancy Honeytree. That's back in the Jesus movement in the 70s. All right, so he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, right there, Pastor, that leaves me out because I'm no preacher. And that's for preachers. It says preach. Well, that's a misunderstanding of that word. If you look that word up, it has nothing to do with people on a platform preaching. It has nothing to do with that. The word actually means in the Greek, declare. Go and declare. We've all been called. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to believers. This is our mission. This is the Great Commission. We are to know God, grow in God, and go for God. And we're to go into all the world and declare the gospel to every living creature. So it doesn't mean preachers. You got to be a preacher. You got to be in the full-time, quote, fivefold ministry. You got to go to seminary. You got to get a degree. It has nothing to do with that. That's a misunderstanding. It actually means to declare. So all of us then have been called and commissioned to declare the gospel. Now, the gospel, I like it because gospel simply means good news. Right now, we've heard a lot of fake news, negative news, decisive news, destructive news, critical news. The world needs some good news. Come on, somebody. It's good news. Fake news isn't going to help us. Destructive, decisive, critical news is not going to help us. But the good news can set us free and give us the breakthrough we're looking for and needing and living an abundant life. Right, everybody? So he said unto them, go into all the world and preach, declare the good news to every creature. Now, the good news, we have some television anchors that are a part of our church here locally. And what would happen tonight if you and I turned on the news at 5 o'clock and there we watched the anchor to the news and they had this wonderful setup and they got these great cameras, they got all the lights and the anchor, he or she has on, you know, really cool clothes, they got their makeup on and we're getting ready to listen to the news that the anchor is supposed to give us. But we sit there, and for 30 minutes, the anchor just sits there and says nothing. Wouldn't that be like a Christian? Never saying anything, never sharing the news, the good news of Jesus Christ. I love that song, Hope is His Name. Amen, everybody? So he said unto them, go into all the world, preach, declare the good news. We've got good news, everybody. Good news to every creature. Oh, I like that. Everybody say good news. I mean, we've got the good news. We don't got fake news. We don't got critical, decisive, racial bigotry. We don't got put down news. We got the good news. And the good news is that for God so loved the world, they sang it today, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but they'd have everlasting life. Now, let me show you that when you and I proclaim the gospel, what happens? Power is released. Oh, yeah. Power is released. You and I can't declare the gospel effectively without the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm not going to get very far today, but I'm going to do my best, all right? Do y'all remember Jesus said in Luke 24, don't go there, just trust me. But Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus is on his way to go back up into heaven, okay? Death, burial, resurrection. And his last words to the disciples is he says this, before you go, wait and tarry in the upper room to be endued with power. And then he said, you shall then be my witnesses to all the earth. We can't declare the good news without the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us love and boldness, confidence, tact, understanding, empathy, sympathy, compassion. We can't do this on our own. Can I have an amen? I can't effectively declare and share the gospel, the good news to every creature in my own power, in my own strength, in my own spirit. I need to do what Jesus said, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, be endued with power, and then you can be my witness in your family for family evangelism, at where you work for work evangelism, at school for school evangelism. But you and I need that power. Notice these signs follow people who declare the good news. They believe and will be baptized, will be saved. If they believe the gospel, the good news, they'll be saved. And he that believeth will not be damned. Don't have to live under condemnation. And these signs, everybody say signs. It means miracles. Miracles. Miracles should be following every believer who's going. Every believer who's going and sharing. Not fake news, good news. Not critical, negative, destructive, decisive. No, but those who share the gospel, they share the good news. Power will follow. Signs and wonders will follow your life. The miraculous. I like it. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues, it says. It goes on to list the signs. They'll take up serpents. Pastor, I'm not into that snake handling stuff they do down in the hills of Tennessee. Pastor, those snake handlers, they get in those services and they handle them. That's not what it's talking about. You see, in the day it was written, they lived in the desert and they traveled in the desert. And there were a lot of snakes in the desert. We have a condo out in California. And we go out there from time to time. Haven't been out there for a year. But we go out there, we like to hike through the mountains in the desert. And there have been times that we have walked in the desert hiking, and there's been a rattlesnake just pop out from nowhere. Just pop out right there. Remember one time we were hiking, I was in the front, and I was the leader of the pack. And I came upon, all of a sudden heard something rattle, and there was a rattlesnake. And I did the worst thing in the world. I jumped, took off running. I mean, you know, thank God for his protection. That's what that means. Protection from anything that would try to harm you. Doesn't mean we go out and pick up snakes. But they'll take up serpents if they drink any deadly thing. I used to say White Castle, and then I got in trouble for that. So we love White Castle. Amen. Those belly bombers, they'll cure what ails you. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick. You lay hands on the sick. The believer, not some, you know, big shot evangelist, but the believer. The average Christian, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I like it. Don't y'all like it? Can we have a praise break? Can we just stop me? Oh, praise the Lord. I love it. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. See, we're out to know God, grow in God, and go for God. And when you and I, you and I go and we share the good news, power is released. There should be signs and wonders following the believer. We don't chase signs, but signs chase us. Amen. All right. And they went forth, they preached everywhere. That means they declared, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word, confirming what? The word. We got a revival of the Bible at Church on the Rock. With the word, with signs following, amen. So, number one, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Pastor, I hear people say we should be sharing the gospel and you're sharing the Great Commission and we're to go share the good news, share the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, I've always taught you that you interpret scripture with scripture, okay? Then you're not going to get off on a cult, all right? So Titus 2:11 tells us what the gospel, the good news, is. Y'all ready for this? For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and God's blessing has come forward, appeared to for the deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That God sent his son to die for all mankind. So you and I can live the blessed life and have the favor of God on our life and have fellowship with God for the rest of our life. And when we go into the afterlife, we'll be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. This, in a nutshell, is the good news. We don't have to live weak, defeated. We don't have to live under bondage, addicted to something that is harmful. We don't have to live under condemnation or the fear of death. We don't have to live alone. We don't have to do life by ourselves. We don't have to live every day of our life with a void on the inside, trying to fill that void with all the wrong things and all the wrong places. For the grace of God, his favor and blessing has appeared for the deliverance from the curse of sin and to bring eternal salvation for all mankind. You still with me, everybody? All right. Verse 12. It's trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, desires to live a discreet, temperate, self-controlled, spiritually whole life in this present world. The gospel gives us power to live a whole life, a complete life, a fulfilled life, a significant life, a life on purpose. Look at the verse, in this present world. This is the gospel. This is the good news, not man-made tradition, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment of our blessed hope. What is that? The rapture, the catching away, and waiting and looking for the fulfillment of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Right there, my brother and sister, verse 11, 12, and 13 is the gospel in a nutshell. It's the good news. We don't have to live a cursed life, live under a curse, condemnation, shame, or guilt. We don't have to live a dysfunctional life, be in a dysfunctional family. We don't have to live lame or out of blame, but we can have a total, fulfilled, whole, wholesome, healthy, happy, fulfilled, blessed life. That's the good news. Come on, everybody, give the Lord a good praise, would you? Amen. Amen. And I'm going to, verse 14, I'm going to hustle through this, okay, because I want to move on ahead. Who gave himself on our behalf, that he might redeem us. Wow, he's our redeemer. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from iniquity. That's not only sin, that's habitual sin that holds man or woman in bondage. And to purify for himself a people to be his own. People who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Did y'all get that, everybody? That is the gospel. That is why Christ died. Come on, let's give him praise. Across the street, the drive-in church, honk your horn, give God some praise. That is the gospel. That's what we're doing at Church on the Rock. That's why we're giving. That's why we're serving. That's why we're on the Dream Team. That's why we go on Channel 11, April the 11th. Amen, everybody. That's why we're going to plug into the resources on Tuesday night, because we don't want to be that anchor and we have news to share, but we're being silent. People need to know that God's a good God. God's for them. That God sent his son to die for them and set them free. Why should I share the gospel? We answered the question, what is the gospel? Why should I share the gospel? Well, I got to hustle. A, God made us to know him. Why should we share the gospel? We were made to be in God's family. We were made to be in God's family. I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but just write it down. Ephesians 1:4. Why should we share the gospel? Because we were made to be known and be a part of God's family, to know God. B, God wants everybody to be saved. Why should we go? Why should we preach / just declare? Why should we do that? Why is it important? Because God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that should all should come to repentance. C, why should we share the gospel? Because sharing the gospel shows our gratitude to God. Sharing the gospel shows our gratitude and thankfulness for what he's done in our life. If I had the answer for cancer and I had used it on my body to deliver me from cancer, but yet I didn't share it with you, what kind of a person would I be? If I had the answer, if I had the solution, if I had the remedy, if I had the vaccine, so to speak, for cancer, and I knew you had cancer, I wouldn't share it with you, what kind of person would I be? You and I have received Jesus Christ as Lord. We've got the good news, the good life, the abundant life, a full life, a wholesome life. Oh, yeah, tragedy and heartache and challenges, but God, in the middle of all of it, never leaves us, always there for us to see us through and come out better on the other end. We got to share it with other people out of gratitude unto God. Ephesians 2:12, remember, just write down the reference, remember that you at one time were separated, living apart from Christ. All right? And then D, why should we share the gospel? We answered what the commission is, evangelism and discipleship. We answered what the gospel really is, our message. Every member has a mission. Every member has a ministry. Every member has a message. A message. The good news. Why should we share? Because sharing the gospel is connected to the return of Jesus Christ. That is amazing. What's that, Pastor? The Bible lets us know that God's timetable is dependent on us sharing the gospel. Matthew 24. I will read this. Matthew 24, verse 14. Look at the overheads. And the good news, that's what we have, everybody. That's why I thank God for you and Church on the Rock. Our community needs you. They need this ministry. They need us. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout all the world so that all nations will hear it. And then, everybody say then. And then the end will come. The faster, the sooner that we do what we're called to do, equipped to do, commissioned to do, share the good news, the sooner Jesus Christ will come back. And I'm ready for him to come back. So I'm going to work even more efficiently, effectively, intentionally to reach the lost. How about you? Amen. I know you are. All right. So why should we share the gospel? God's timetable is connected to it. And E, why should we share the gospel? Because sharing the gospel is a responsibility. Sharing the gospel is not only a privilege, but a responsibility. As the team comes back, when I tell wicked people they will die because of their sins, you must warn them to turn from their sinful ways so they won't be punished. If you refuse, you are responsible for their death. It's our responsibility. It's a privilege, but it's a responsibility for the ministry of Church on the Rock. That's you and me. It's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. When I tell wicked people they will die because of their sins, you must warn them to turn from their sinful ways so they won't be punished. But if you refuse, you are responsible for their death. Verse 19, however, if you do warn them and they keep on sinning, they will die because of their sins and you will be innocent. What does that mean? We can't save anybody, my brother and sister. By the way, I sure do love y'all. We can't save anybody. All we're called to do is share the good news. And what people do with it is up to them. But then we're not responsible for where they spend eternity because we shared the good news. Now, some takeaways before we worship the Lord here in a worship moment. I'm going to go right on here. How to share the gospel. Use tact real quick. How do I share the gospel? What is the gospel? Why should I? And how do I? Use tact. What's that, Pastor? Simply the right words at the right time. The right words at the right time. The Bible has a whole lot to say about a word spoken at the right time. B, find something in common with that individual. Find something in common with that individual. We don't want to be weird or religious or judgmental. You never win a soul through an argument. You've got to be winsome. You know what that word winsome means? You've got to be winsome to win some. It's being kind and courteous and respectful. It's being tactful. And then it's finding something in common with that person. And then C, build a bridge. Build a bridge. Let's don't destroy bridges. Let's build bridges with one another. Did it help anybody today on the Great Commission evangelism? Amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.